And please turn again in the Bible to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 begins on page 11. And this time I will read from verse 1 to verse 14. Genesis chapter 17, reading from verse 1 to verse 14. Please give your attention to the Word of God. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face. And God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep, between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." All right, we have a new word in this chapter, a word that we haven't seen in the Bible so far. You saw the word circumcised a lot. So what is this? What is circumcision? Well, you got a clue in there. Every male shall be circumcised. And that's a clue as to what it is, because you only can circumcise a male. And that's because only a male has a penis. And on the end of the penis, there's some extra skin known as the foreskin. You can live with it, and you can live without it. Circumcision is when you cut off the foreskin, and you live without it. And that is what God is telling Abraham to do. Him, and his son, and all of the males in his household, which were at least 318 trained men. You'll notice that there's a time set for circumcision. For Abraham and all the men in the house, the time is that very day. If you look ahead to verse 23, or verse 22 and 23, when he finished talking with them, God went up. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all those born in this house or bought with his money, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day. For all future males, the time was 8 days old. 8 days, enough time for the baby to start to gain weight again, gain a little strength, and early enough that the body heals quickly and you get over it fast. Also notice 8 days guarantees that one Sabbath will have gone by before the child is circumcised. Now you'll notice that while God is clear with Abraham, he doesn't totally explain what's going on, and that's because this is not the first time circumcision's invented. There seems to be evidence of it from 800 years before. And you can even learn in the Bible. You get lists in certain places of what countries did circumcise their boys and which countries didn't. Egypt did, Edom and Ammon did in the future, Babylon and Assyria and the Philistines didn't. So being circumcised did not make Abraham and all his descendants different than all their neighbors, only different than some of them. So the point wasn't to make Abraham and his descendants unique. Didn't accomplish that. So what was the point? Well, each country that circumcised must have had its own reason. And today some people circumcise for health reasons or cosmetic reasons, but the point here is it's the sign of God's covenant with Abraham, which leads us to the most important word in this chapter, which is the word covenant. The word covenant, a sacred and binding promise. And it's God who makes the sacred and binding promise with Abraham. What a glorious thing that God makes promises with people, and then He keeps them, and He keeps them, and He keeps them, and He keeps them. What a glorious and wonderful thing. And here, the covenant comes first. The first paragraph is all that God will do for Abraham. And the circumcision merely comes in second as the sign. And that's the pattern of how we relate to God. You don't earn something with God. God doesn't say to you, first you be good, and then maybe I'll let you in. No, first God says to Abraham, I make my covenant with you. We first had that in chapter 15. God says, I make my covenant with you, and chapter 15 is all about what God will do for Abraham. Abraham cuts animals in half, and God makes a symbol of God go between them. Abraham doesn't have to go between them. Abraham doesn't have to promise anything. God makes the covenant with Abraham. God establishes the relationship. And then, once you're in the family, for our good, He says to us, and here is how to live. Here is the sign to help you. So always remember this. You are accepted by God on the basis of His grace, not your works, not your doing. We are God's adopted children. And adopted children, they don't have to prove something when they're there in the orphanage. They're just adopted as the parents come and say, I will take this child. And here's the core of the covenant. I will be God to you and to your descendants after you. And that's a powerful thing, because when you know that God is God Almighty, the new name here, then you're changed. There's a new name here, El Shaddai in Hebrew, God Almighty. The God who provides, the God who will bend nature to serve grace. God who will make a 99-year-old have a child. And when you know that God will even bend nature to serve grace, then you're not unchanged. You don't go on fighting with God or with your neighbor. You don't go on despairing in your soul. But you live at peace with God. It's a better life that God gives by His grace. It's a better life that God gives through His covenants. But we human beings, we have a problem. We forget. We forget God's grace. And so to help us out, God gives us signs. Which leads us to the third word to learn. That's not in the passage. It's not even in the Bible. But to help us understand the Bible, the third word is sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible blessing. It's something you can see that's supposed to remind you of something that you can't see. And so the New Testament sacraments are baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Old Testament sacraments, circumcision and the Passover. It's to help us not forget God's blessings to us. Because we say, out of sight, out of mind. So God gives us something before our eyes, but not too much, so that we wouldn't be carried away with the sign, but we'd be sent to what it stands for. So, what's circumcision? It's when you cut the foreskin off the baby boy's penis. What's it for? It's a sign of God's promise to Abraham to make him the father of nations and to be God to them. Why do we need signs? Because we people, we forget. And so God gives us sacraments. All right, I'm done with the first part. Now, time for the obvious follow-up question. The obvious follow-up question. Okay, you said what circumcision was, and you said why we need signs. But why did God command that one? I mean, it's a little weird. Does it hurt? Yes. So why that one? Why didn't He tell Abraham to have a pierced ear or something? Why does it have to be this one? Why circumcision? Once I had a phone call from Evniki from work. She's sitting there in the cubicle. She says, one of my coworkers has a question. I'm going to put her on. So I'm talking to her coworker. Coworker says to me, why did God tell Abraham to circumcise his descendants? I said, am I on speakerphone? So why circumcision? Well, circumcision connects to the covenant that God is making right here. He told the very old Abraham, I will make you the father of the multitude of nations. And to drive it home, he changes this 99-year-old man's name. 99 years, he's Abram, which means the father is exalted. And now at age 99, God says, enough of that name. You have a new one. You're now Abraham, which sounds like the father of nations. And how is he going to become the father of a multitude of nations? He's already been told, what comes out of your body, that will be your son. And so the sign of the covenant is put on the organ of procreation, right where the reminder is needed. So circumcision is an effective reminder of God's promise to Abraham of many descendants. And it's also a reminder that Abraham is dependent on God for that, because he hasn't had any kids yet. In all 80 years he could have had kids, he hasn't had one. So it's a reminder of God's promise and a reminder of Abraham's need for God to make it happen. And it's a sign to educate later generations with. Why are they doing that to little brother? Well, if you're hearing about it, you are part of the fulfillment of the promise. And so you are taught about the promise in a very powerful way. That promise is about you. And you also are dependent on God for life and for blessing and for children. So this is the first reason why circumcision. To help all of them remember God's covenant with Abraham. Remember that the promise of children, even to the elderly, was given to Abraham. Now, here's a second reason for circumcision being the particular sign. In circumcision, you cut off the foreskin, and there's nothing else to do with it. You throw it away. And that symbolizes what we have to do with our sin. It needs to be cut off and thrown away. That is, we need to repent of it. Now, some of our sin we aren't fond of, and it's rather easy to be rid of it, at least to want to be rid of it, because it makes us miserable immediately and obviously. I wish I didn't swear so much. It gets me in such trouble. But some of our sin we tend to love. Maybe we take pride in always being right. Maybe we take pride in having a temper and everybody's a little bit scared around us. Maybe we take pride of how we can fool anybody with our lies. And it hurts our evil pride to cut off these sins. But it's necessary if we will walk with God. What does God say first? I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. It's necessary if we will walk as God requires, according to the rule of God's house. It's required of us that we be blameless. So he calls Abraham and he calls all his descendants and he calls all of the faith of Abraham to be blameless. It's not that you're first blameless and then you're allowed in the family. It's that God pulls you into the family and then he calls on you to be blameless. And circumcision shows us the sin must be cut away. And when you circumcise a little baby smaller than Nicholas, who has not yet really been able to sin in any apparent way, he's 8 days old, that makes a further point about sin. That sin is naturally in us at birth. Now, I want to be clear. There's no part of the body that is sinful in itself. And sex between husband and wife is a blessed and good thing. God created all of this at the beginning and said it is very good. What's sinful is the result, the child. The child is who's sinful because we're all sinful. And so is the child who is circumcised right at the beginning of life before he's yet done anything wrong that we can see. And so circumcising the 8-day-old child symbolizes the child must grow and cut away the sin that he was born with. Circumcision is also fitting because the cutting away is bloody. Now, it's not a lot of blood. You don't want to take a lot of blood out of an 8-day-old. But there's a little bit. Moses' wife, when she had to circumcise their kids, said to him, "You are a bloody husband to me because of the circumcision." And the blood reminds us of this. In the Old Testament, almost everything had to be cleansed by blood. The blood is a sign of the consequence of sin. Sin separates us from God. With sin, we are breaking the law of God, and you can't pay God off. God is a just judge. He will punish sin. But he allows substitution. He allows one to represent someone else. And so when the people sinned in the Old Testament, they were to bring an animal and kill it, and the blood would run out, and they would burn it before God, and that was the sacrifice for their sins. The animal represented them. The animal was the substitute. And that was to teach that the wages of sin is death, but God is gracious to accept the substitute. Now, circumcision is not a sacrifice. Circumcision is not a sacrifice. But you have the common element of blood, as with the sacrifices. And so in both cases, you are reminded by what you see that the consequences of sin is death. The element of blood is there as a reminder of the cost of sin. So, circumcision calls believers to repent of the sin, and not just of their individual sins, but of the inborn sin that we come to the table with. And the third reason that circumcision is the sign of the covenant is to remind all of Abraham's descendants of God's ultimate promise to Abraham. Now, what's the ultimate promise? Well, it's not here in this chapter. The ultimate promise comes at the end of the first time God talks to Abraham, and it comes right at the end of the last time, or one of the last times God speaks to Abraham. The blessing that in Abraham, all of the families of the earth would be blessed. That's the ultimate promise. And as you go on, it's more and more clear. This blessing for the world doesn't come through Abraham himself, but through his descendants. And that should remind you of God's promise to Eve. That God said in Eve's hearing, God said to the serpent, that there would be enmity between the serpent's descendants and Eve's descendants. And that he, some individual descendant of Eve, would crush the serpent's head. That one particular descendant of Eve, that's the one particular descendant of Abraham. He'd be the he to crush the serpent's head and bless all the families of the earth. Now, how's that descendant going to come? Well, through the descendants of Abraham. Which brings us back to the organ of procreation. It's not just to remind us of many nations from Abraham, it's to point us to the one Savior who is to come through Abraham's descendants. And they needed, and we need, to believe in God's promised Savior by faith. Which gives us to yet another aspect of circumcision. You might say, isn't our relationship to God mainly a matter of the heart? Isn't it not what happens outwardly, but what happens inwardly? Can't a hypocrite do anything physically that any true believer can do? Well, that's true enough. And circumcision is generally hidden. You don't usually know who is and who isn't. Which is to point you to the fact that the true relationship to God is at the level of the heart. The heart's hidden. And so that makes it more fitting than piercing the ear, as well as for the other reasons mentioned. So why circumcision as the sign of the covenant? Well, to remind us of God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of nations. To call us to repent through the bloody cutting off of what is naturally there. We're taught that sin is inherent and must be cut away. To remind us that we must believe at the hidden level of the heart, as well as with our mouth, that in the Savior who is to come, the one by whom all families will be blessed. Now, what about the girls? Well, women participate in circumcision through marriage as the two become one flesh. I refer to you what I've already said. So, we've covered what circumcision is. We've covered why that would be the sign. Now, for the last obvious question. So why don't Christians think it's important to circumcise the babies? Now, some Christians are circumcised, but it's for custom or for health reasons. Others aren't because it's not for us a religious obligation. And yet the New Testament's very clear that we are to consider ourselves the true children of Abraham, that we have the same faith as Abraham, that he is the father of all the faithful, by which we mean all the Christians. And you'll notice in the passage, all the servants are circumcised. They're not related to Abraham. They're Gentiles, and yet they're included in the sign of the covenant. And that shows us, by the way, that God is far more generous than we often are. We like to say one race is better than the other, or one class is better than the other. Yes, but here God says, if it's in your house, you get circumcised. I don't care if it's your slave, the son of your slave, your son, anybody. Male in your house is to be circumcised. Which shows the representative principle. The head of the house determined the house. As Abraham is not just responsible for himself, but for his son. Not just for his son, but for his servants. Not just for his servants, but for his servants' sons. Which is why parents are responsible to bring their kids to worship. Parents, you're not to say to your kids, this is not for you. This is for them. The kids belong. All kids are welcome. I wish we had every kid in the neighborhood here. But the kids whose parents belong here, the kids are supposed to be there, and it's on the parents to bring them. I know a family that's very generous to people who are down and out. It's very generous to let people stay with them in their home. People struggling with drug addictions and so on. This family has one rule, though. You live in my house, you come to my church on Sunday morning. You might want to think about it. It's working out the same principle. So, I'm leaving the question up in the air. Why don't Christians view circumcision as mandatory? We call Abraham our father. Genesis is the Bible. It's an inclusive sacrament. It sounds eternal. So why not? Let's go to that third reason. Why circumcision called, the third reason for circumcision is the sign. The circumcision called believers to believe in the descendant of Abraham who would bless the world. That ultimate promise of circumcision was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He's the descendant of Abraham in whom all families are blessed. It's in him that some of every nation believes. He's the descendant of Eve who crushed the head of the serpent when he rose from the dead. And so we are no longer looking for a child to come. Isaiah was looking for a child to come, for a child is given to us, a son is born to us, and you can still sing it in Handel's Messiah. But we're not looking for a child to come. Jesus came as a child, and when he comes again, it will not be as a baby. And so no longer are we looking for a child, it's time for a new and different sign. The sign pointed forward to Jesus, Jesus is here. And so however much we want kids, salvation is no longer from a future child. Children are still the gift of the Lord and still very much a good thing, but salvation's here. The role of procreation in bringing salvation to the world is over. The second reason. Circumcision calls believers to repent and to cut away the sin that we are born with. And we're still born in sin. And we still need to repent of it. And it's still fitting for a sign to be placed on infants to show the original sin and the need of grace. But it's not fitting anymore that the sign should involve blood. Because all the blood that was shed in all the circumcisions, and all the blood that was shed in all the sacrifices, which is a different thing, all the blood that was shed pointed to the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. So as Jesus shed his blood once and not again and again, there's no more place for the shedding of blood. It's all pointed to Christ's blood. It's over with. And so now we need a sacrament of repentance that doesn't have blood involved. Now we need a sacrament of repentance that symbolizes that the debt has been paid. And so that's why we read Colossians 2 earlier in the service. Colossians 2 said to Christians, you were circumcised. And those who were Jewish Christians said, yeah, I know. But the Gentile Christians said, I was. So he goes on to say, by a circumcision made without hands. And you say, okay, we're not speaking literally, physically. What do you mean? Having been baptized into Christ. Baptism accomplished what circumcision was meant to point out. Baptism accomplishes circumcision. Because baptism is an alternate picture of getting rid of sin. Instead of cutting it off, it's washing the whole person. And as circumcision was done when the parents brought the infant, so baptism should be done when parents bring the infant. Or to the one who comes into the house, into the household of God. And so baptism pictures for us that we do need to be washed of our sin. The sin is innate, but we're washed by the already shed blood of Christ. And so there's no blood in baptism. It's just water. Baptism also shows that we're all one in Christ, as the girls are baptized just the same as the boys. And the first reason for circumcision that I said was, it was a reminder that God promised Abraham that he would become the father of many nations. Now, he did. That's been accomplished. He became the father of Israel and the father of the Ishmaelites, the Arabs. He became the father of the Midianites and the Edomites. But more important are the spiritual children of Abraham. Because not all biological children are spiritual children. You can look at Ishmael, a biological child of Abraham, circumcised the very same day as Abraham. And God blessed him and made him the father of a nation. But didn't give to him the covenant. And so as far as you can tell, you have to guess that Ishmael's not a believer. At least his descendants weren't. So circumcision is a sign of the covenant. It's to be carefully observed, but you'll notice it doesn't guarantee anything. Because the key part of the relationship with God is at the heart. And so the infants in the covenant community has all the privileges thereof. As a child grows, the child must do all that the sign directs him to do. Must remember, repent, and believe. And baptism having replaced circumcision, because Jesus has come and blood should no longer be shed, baptism continues this function, to remind us of God's promise to Abraham, to remind us it was fulfilled by Jesus. Because while God tends to work in families, no longer is it all about one nation, but God reaches those in every nation. So we're baptized into one church, one faith, one hope, one God, not one nation. So it's baptism that reminds you of the oneness across nations and races, times and places. So remember, baptism places you in the covenant community, as circumcision did. It doesn't guarantee anything. So baptism, if you've been baptized, that calls you to remember God's promise. God's promise of salvation to come through Abraham's descendant, Jesus Christ. It calls you to repent of your sin and your sins, to believe in Jesus, whose once shed blood now allows you to be forgiven. Now, if anyone's uncertain and you think, I don't know, that sounded pretty firm in Genesis, I think I should be circumcised, you need to read Acts 15 and Galatians before you do anything. And it's good for us that the first generation of Christians thought about it, because it was not easy to understand. But what we must understand is this. Baptism for us replaces circumcision, because Jesus Christ has come. And we have more liberty in the day, 8 days, 10 days, 20 days, because the New Testament generally gives us more liberty in such matters. So let me wrap up. What circumcision? I covered that. Why did God give us a sign? Because we forget God's grace to us. So He gives us signs to help us remember His promises. Well, why that sign? Well, to help Abraham and his descendants to remember that God had promised him many descendants and many nations. To teach them to repent of their sins, to cut them away. To teach them to believe in their hidden heart that all the nations would be blessed through Abraham's descendants to come. But now we know that Jesus has come, so our hope's no longer in the baby. The blood has been shed, so it's not to be shed anymore. And the many nations have been given. And so God's work now is in many nations and not just one. So remember God's promises. That continues. You still need a sign. You still need a sacrament. You still need to remember God's promises. You still need to repent of your sins. You still need to keep it genuine in your heart. Remember this of your baptism. Your baptism was the washing of your sins and your guilt by the blood of Jesus, Abraham's descendants. Circumcision and baptism, these make the same points. Remember God's promises. Repent of your inborn sin. And rest in God's Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so compassionate as to speak to us, to let us know who You are and who we are and what it is that we ought to believe about You. We thank You that You are so gracious as to go further and to make covenants with people. And we thank You that by faith we also are brought in to the family of Abraham, that He becomes our Father as He is the Father of the faithful. We thank You that You're so gracious as to go beyond the covenant to give us signs. We thank You that You are gracious to us to hold on to us by these things. We thank You that You condescend to us in our weakness. Lord, we thank You that You both gave the sign of circumcision. We thank You that Jesus has come. And we thank You that now we look not to something future, but to something that has been accomplished for us. And so, Lord Jesus, we look back on what You've done for us, and we thank You. And we also look forward and pray that You would come again quickly. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn now to Psalm 105, Selection B. Psalm 105B. And with Psalm 105B, we sing now of God's covenant with Abraham, covenant that we've been brought into. So please stand and sing Psalm 105, Selection B. Please stand.